Now, tonight we were learning all about parables. And the Lord Jesus Christ told many parables. Tonight we've learned about three of them. Do you remember the first one? The wise builder and the foolish builder. And then we learned about the lost coin, the woman that lost a piece of silver. And then we learned about a man who lost a sheep. Well, those second two parables are from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. And right at the end of that chapter, there's another parable that the Lord told. He spoke about the lost silver, then the lost sheep, and then he spoke about a lost son. And I just want tonight to bring this parable to you again. And I trust that the Lord will really speak to your hearts as we think about this lost son. This is very creaky. Can you hear that? Hope that doesn't put you off. Okay, the lost son. The Bible begins, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching the people, and he says, a certain man had two sons. Now, this man was a big, rich farmer, and he had this beautiful big farm, lots of sheep, lots of cattle, lots of servants, big house, barns, and just two sons. Now, we're not told that this man's wife is still alive. She's not mentioned in the story. Maybe that she had died, or something had happened, or she wasn't well, but the Bible just says a certain man had two sons. One was older, and one was younger. And one day, the younger son came to his dad, and he says, Dad, I want you to give to me my inheritance right now. That younger son looked at his dad, this wealthy man, the big farm, and all the money that his dad had stored away, and he thought, someday my dad is going to give me that money. But you know, I don't want to wait for it. I just want him to give it to me right now. So he went to his dad, and his dad loved him and cared for him and looked after him. And the boy says, Dad, I don't really want to live at home anymore. I want to go far, far away, and it's my life, and I want to live it. And I want you to give me all of the money that's going to be mine someday anyway, and I don't want to have to wait for it. I want you to give it to me right now, and I'm going to go away. I'm going to plow my own furrow. I'm going to enjoy myself. Life's for the living. I don't like living at home anymore. I don't want to be under your authority, and I just want to go out into that big world out there and have a good time. And you know, his dad, I'm sure, was a little bit sad about that, because for all that boy's life, his father had looked after him, provided for him, fed him, clothed him, gave him warmth and shelter, probably tried to give him a good education, and loved him. But he thought, I can be better off somewhere else. And sometimes in life, that's what we are like. I remember whenever I was a young person, a teenager perhaps, sometimes I looked at mum and dad and thought, you know, they are so out of touch with reality. And they're just living way back there in the dark ages. And there's a big world out there, and I want to discover it. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to discover new things, but the things that he wanted to discover and try and test were things that he knew that just weren't right. And more than that, the Bible tells us that there's a God in heaven that loves us. And he's got so much for us if we give him our hearts and give him our lives. But the Bible tells us that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. So very reluctantly, very sadly, the father handed to his son a big bag of money. Now, I'm sure it was a lot bigger than this. This is full of 2p's, 5p's, and 1p's. There's probably about 75p in there, or £2 maybe at the very most. But he got this big bag of money, and he looked at it, and he thought, that'll do me. And he put the big bag of money in his pocket, and off he went with a spring in his step. And the Bible says he took his journey, and he went into a far, far away country. He tried to get as far away from dad, from the farm, from religion, from God, from everything that he had been brought up under. He wanted just to get away from it. And you know, some of the young people here tonight, it's lovely to have you in Sunday school and in Bible class and in youth fellowship and in our children's meetings. And brilliant to have you here tonight. But you know, maybe for some of you, there'll come a day whenever you'll say, you know, I don't really want to go to Sunday school anymore. And I don't really want to learn about the Bible anymore. And I don't really want to think about God anymore. I just want to go out and enjoy my life. And that's what he did. And he went with this big bag of money, and he made lots of friends, because people thought, oh, here's the fella from the country. Dad's a big rich farmer, got a big bag of money, wants to make new friends. Well, we'll be his friends. And they lived off him, and they enjoyed all of the free drink that he could buy for them, and all of the free meals. And he probably went out and spent his money very quickly on the best clothes, the best shoes that he could buy, and he just wasted his money, the Bible says, on riotous living. Spent it all as if it was going out of fashion. And they had big parties and big nights out, and everything just seemed to be going really, really well. But you know, that bag of money began to get a lot smaller. And after partying for a week or two and a month or two, the bag of money wasn't just as heavy as it once was. And then there came a day when he put his hand into the bag of money and there was hardly anything left. And he realized, no, I'm not going to be able to live this life any longer. I would need to try and get a job. And all of the parties all of a sudden came to an end. And the drink stopped flowing, and the wine stopped flowing, and the woman stopped running after him. And all of the friends that he thought he had, well, they all left him as well, because they were just after him because of his money. And they were fair weather friends. They were friends with him whenever everything was good. But whenever things got hard, they didn't want to be his friend anymore. And he began to realize that he didn't have as many friends as he thought he had. And the Bible, boys and girls, it tells us that the pleasures of sin are just for a season. And they come and they go. So his money's ran out. His friends have ran out. All of the women that he was with, they've ran out as well. And his joy has ran out. And then he went and he thought, well, the best thing I can do is get a job. But the Bible says that a famine, a mighty famine, had arisen in the land. And no longer was food there in abundance. And people began to lose their jobs. And things were scarce. Money was hard to come by. And the only job that he could get was a job feeding pigs. Feeding pigs. And every single day, he clocked in for work early in the morning, maybe left late at night, went up the road, maybe into a field and slept under a tree. And every single day, he just looked at those pigs, and he looked at himself, and he thought about the man that owned the pigs, and he just felt absolutely miserable. And he began to wonder, is this what life is all about? A few months, years maybe of happiness in the world, and look at me now. And all of those beautiful clothes that he wore, they weren't so nice now. They were covered in holes, and they were dirty, and the shoes, he'd grown out of them, and they were gone. Didn't even have shoes on his feet. Didn't have any friends. He was hungry, the Bible says. And he looked at the food that he was given to the pigs, and he thought, you know, maybe I could fill my belly with that. And the Lord Jesus, as he's telling this story, he says, but when he came to himself, all of a sudden, feeding those pigs, he came to a realization. You know what I believe happened? I don't believe a preacher went and spoke to him, or a family member, or a friend, or a loved one, or a Sunday school teacher, or a children's worker, or anything like that. I believe as he looked at those pigs, he began to think about his own life. And he looked at the pigs and how unclean they were. And then he looked at himself and thought, sure, I'm just as unclean as they are. And then he looked at the life that the pigs were living. And life for the pigs was the same every day. And he thought, well, that's what my life's like. There's no purpose and there's no direction. And these pigs, they're fenced in. They live in a pig pen. And he says, I feel as if I'm fenced in. I came into the far country to get freedom and liberty, and I find myself in bondage. And then he thought about where the pigs would end up, in the bacon factory someday. And he thought about himself, thought, well, where's my life going? Do you ever ask yourself, maybe even some of the older people tonight, ask yourself those questions. Well, what's life all about? And where am I going? And why does it seem that I'm never really free and I feel bound by the things that people think and even bound by guilt or maybe some addiction and I just can't seem to break free? And he was really, really under conviction. He was troubled about his past. He was worried about his present. He'd got no future. And he was maybe thinking as well about God in heaven that he'd heard so much about as a little boy. Someday I'm going to meet him, and I'm not ready. And he says, but you know what I think I'll do? I'll go back home. Because my dad has got loads of servants. And he says, they have food and to spare. And I'm sitting here, and I perish with hunger. And I'm going to go back to my dad. I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me, I pray thee, one of thy hired servants. And if any person wants to become a Christian and wants to get to know God and walk with God, in a sense they have to do the same. They have to acknowledge, well, you know, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against heaven. I've done things that aren't right. And now I need to go back and I need to turn around and repent and ask God to forgive me. And just ask God if he could even use me as a servant. And so that's what he did. He got up. He turned around, he retraced his steps all the way back home. And you know, the Bible says that whenever he was still a great way off, his father saw him. And I'm sure every day that dad would have stood there and he would have looked out over the fields, down the lane, onto the horizon, hoping, praying that someday his wayward son would return. And one day he saw this figure coming up the lane. Head was down, he's clothed in rags. Maybe some of the servants would have said, you know, who's this coming? Probably one of those beggars, one of those tramps coming from the town, maybe looking for work or looking for scraps of food. But no, the father recognized him as a son. And the Bible actually says, boys and girls, that he ran and fell upon him, and kissed him, and had compassion, because he still loved him. And you'll discover that if you come to God, and come to Jesus Christ, that he's got so much for you, and he loves you. And that son just said, Father, and he rehearsed everything, I've sinned against heaven, and I've let you down as well. And I've wasted all of the money that you've given me. I've got none of it left. I've got nothing to show for it. And I'm not worthy to be called your son. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us that the father scolded him or was angry with him or was cross with him. But the Bible just says he didn't even take it up. He just turned around to his servants and says, listen, get the very best robe that you have and put it on him. And put the best shoes that you can upon his feet. Put a nice ring upon his finger. And the big fatted calf that we have out there, that we've been saving for a special occasion, he says, kill it and let's have steaks tonight. And let us have a big dinner. Let us eat and let's drink and let's be merry. Because this, my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And it says he began to make merry. And if you come to God, as this young man did, and you give your heart and life to him, and ask for forgiveness, and trust the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us and gave himself for us, you know what the Lord does? He puts a robe on us. Not a robe that you can see or clothes that you can see, but the Bible speaks about the garments of salvation, and he clothes us. And he also, in a sense, puts shoes upon our feet. He gives us a new standing and enables us to walk with God. And he puts a ring, as it were, upon our finger. And that ring speaks of ownership. And then he gives us things that can really satisfy. Just as that young man that night sat down round about the father's table and had the best meal that he'd had for years. And he was full and he was satisfied. Those are things that God can do for us. He couldn't find these things out there in the far country in the world, but he found them in the Father's house. But you know, that night, whenever they were having this big party, the elder brother, he was a little bit older. He thought he was a little bit wiser. He wouldn't come in and sit at the dinner table because he was so proud and so arrogant And he called his dad out and says, you know, I never disgraced your name. I never wasted your money. I never did all of the bad things that this other brother's done. And you've never done all these things for me. And he was so proud and so arrogant. And there are some people, and they're just like that. They're maybe very religious, and because they go to church, and because they do all of these nice things, and they're maybe not out there in the far country, they think, well, I don't need to be forgiven. And I don't really need God in my life. And I don't need to be born again, and I don't need Jesus Christ. And that's how proud he was. And the father says, listen, this your brother, ours my son, he's lost and is found. And that's a wonderful thing, and you should rejoice. And boys and girls, the verse of scripture that's up on the screen, it says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came, to seek people like you and me, and to save us from our sins, and to save us, and to make us ready for heaven and for home. And I trust and pray that even tonight you'll realize that lovely truth, that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's no greater love in all the world than the love of God. He sent his Son to die for us and to save us and to satisfy us and to set us free. Thank you so much for listening. We'll just have a wee word of prayer and then we'll let John give out the prizes. Father, we give you thanks and praise tonight for the boys and girls and for all of the lessons that we've learned about the wise builder and the foolish builder and the woman who searched the house for her coin and the shepherd who searched for the sheep. And we thank thee tonight that there's a Savior that came to seek and to save. And O God, we pray that boys and girls and family members, even tonight, Lord, might be sought for and found by the Savior, even in this very meeting. And we pray that you'll bless the good things provided to us. Help us to eat and drink to thy glory and answer prayer. We pray in the Savior's name. Amen.